Today's program is brought to you by Korin, supplier of Japanese chef knives and restaurant supplies. For more information, visit korin.com.
I'm Erin Fairbanks, host of The Farm Report. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hello, welcome to Japan Eats. I'm your host Akiko Katayama, a food writer and the director of the New York Japanese Culinary Academy, which promotes a deeper understanding of Japanese cuisine in America. We are broadcasting live from our studio at Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn. This show is all about Japanese food and food culture. We see sushi at every deli and supermarket, but what is beyond sushi? We hear dashi ramen izakaya, but what exactly are they? Japanese food is still a mystery for many people, and I will try to demystify it in this program with my cool guests. And my guest today is Rona Tison, who is a Senior Vice President of Corporate Relations at the leading green tea company, Itoen, North America. I'm sure many of you have seen or tasted Itoen's tea tea in colorful PET bottles. And today we'll talk about health benefits of green tea, how to make a great cup of green tea, and more. So we're going to have a great show. Hello, Rona, and welcome to the show.
Thank you, Akiko. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you. And first of all, so let's talk about your background. You half Japanese and grew up in Japan and are fluent Japanese and are familiar with Japanese culture. So where did you grow up in Japan?
Well, I actually was born here in New Jersey, and then I moved to Hawaii, and then I did move to Tokyo. Lived in Tokyo, and then eventually moved to Okinawa. So a lot of my formative years was actually on Okinawa, although every summer I would go to Tokyo to spend with my Japanese grandparents.
Wow. So it's the best two parts of Japanese whole experience.
Yes, I was very fortunate to experience sort of both cultures.
So, but how did you get into the world of tea?
Well, I would have to say, you know, being half Japanese, I mean, tea is such an inherent part of the culture. You know, every time I would be in Japan or visiting my grandmother, the first thing was, you know, Mama, ocha wo dozo. You know, nothing started without tea. We would sit down, she'd prepare a nice pot of Japanese sencha, so we would enjoy tea. And of course, everywhere you go in Japan, you know, part of the welcome and the hospitality is with tea. As well as, I think I was probably about, 17 years old. I was having sushi with my mother, and I was taking the lid off my miso soup, the lid, and she looked at me, and she said, Mama, tetsuki no warui koto, which basically is, my goodness, you are so clumsy. And she said, you've got to go and learn ocha, you know, chado, which is the Japanese tea ceremony. So I was sort of not only grew up with the Japanese culture, but also the introduction of learning chado really had an impact in terms of my appreciation for just all things Japanese tea.
That's interesting because, you know, tea ceremonies tend to be seen as kind of rituals, like kind of like a hobby or something, but it's a foundation of how you behave and how you respect and the very important part of Japanese culture.
Well, I think what's interesting, traditionally in Japan, every sort of young woman was introduced to learning tea ceremony because they would also learn about, you know, flower arrangement and in terms of grace and etiquette and so forth. So it really had a very profound impact on my appreciation for one, the Japanese culture, and of course, Nihoncha, Japanese tea.
Right. Okay. But before joining Itoen, you worked in the hotel and the service industry, including W Hotels. So what made you change your career?
Well, I have to say, you know, I started my career. I graduated from UC Berkeley in California, and it was a time when there's a lot of travel from Japan. And so I started my career with Hilton Hotels in San Francisco, and there was a lot of the hospitality business. And so, of course, I was able to use my language, you know, having the bilingual aspect. Through my hotel experience, you know, I went from experiencing tour and travel to food and beverage, too. And so somehow I got into sort of the food and beverage catering experience through hospitality hotels. I then later joined French chain called Air France. Okay. I mean, I'm sorry, Meridian Hotel, which was Air France kind of operated. And then later, I had an opportunity. I met with a Japanese company, and they, of course, were launching a retail operation here in New York City. Mm. And so I did join the company where I was able to use my East and West experience. And somehow we fell into doing retail tea as well as my hotel background.
Interesting.
But I did also launch W Hotels here in New York City, and when it was a new concept. And I was able to, once again, apply a lot of my, and I'd have to say a lot of my Japanese heritage has helped, because I think in Japan, there is so much attention to customer service. Mm. So I was able to apply that also in my hotel experience. Mm. But there's a lot of crossover in terms of, as I mentioned, the tea ceremony, the hospitality, serving tea, and again, my food and beverage experience through the hotel industry. But what really was very exciting for me was having the opportunity to meet Itoen when they decided to open up a operation here in the United States to really introduce an authentic green tea culture. Mm. And that spoke very much to my heart.
Okay. Right. So it sounds like you have a kind of destiny to work for the company.
Yes.
Right. And so what are your responsibility at Itoen?
Well, my title, of course, is Senior VP of Corporate Relations. I've been with the company since inception. I do a lot of the PR events, but all aspects, I would have to say, of the operation. We have grown tremendously with the growing awareness of green tea and the distribution of our ready-to-drink beverages. You mentioned our Tea's Tea line. Mm-hmm. We've expanded a number of different flavors. We still also have our Oyocha, which is our original number one selling green tea in Japan.
I still remember when it was available in Japan. I liked the tea too, so a long time ago.
Well, I think, Itoen's history actually is, I mean, we have a long history of over 50 years, and we were the first company, to be able to introduce an unsweetened bottled green tea. So that I would have to say we pioneered this technology, and we really had quite an impact even in Japan, revolutionizing how Japanese were drinking green tea.
Right. That's interesting, because it used to be a dichotomy, like it's really sugary sweet or just like grandmother serving bitter tea.
Yes.
Which kind of people started to learn it's a really delicious, high-quality tea, right? And so the Itoen, yeah, it was established in 1966, so it's 50 years, like you said. I found the market share of Itoen in Japan is 35% of this super competitive green tea segment, because if you go to a Japanese convenience store, then you can see at least like 10 different kinds of tea, green tea brands on the shelf. So it's amazing. So what about Itoen America? When was Itoen America established?
We first came here in 2001 and launched. I think the first ready-to-drink that we did introduce was in 2002. Mm. You can imagine it was very new and different at the time, the fact that it was unsweetened. Mm. And so it was initially quite a challenge. I think Americans were very, when I would ask people, green tea, they said, oh yes, we drink green tea, but it would be a very sugary green tea that really had very little green tea in it.
Right.
So, Itoen's mission was to really educate and introduce a really high quality, great tasting, pure green tea. Mm. And fortunately, we're seeing that the trend is certainly leaning towards a healthier lifestyle, which I think encompasses what we do at Itoen.
Right. Okay. Yes, I remember. I visited one really nice friend of my friend's parents, and happened they offered me green tea, and then would you like some cream or sugar? I'm like, oh, that's interesting. It may be tasty, but well, that's the cultural difference, right?
Well, it's interesting because the founder, Masanori Honjo, had said they wanted to create even in Japan. They realized the young generation was not taking the time to actually brew the leaf tea in the kyusu, the traditional teapot. Mm-hmm. So it was the time, let's say, when there was the Walkman, and creating a more beverage that could be taken on the go. And so that was when there was a lot of attention to creating something that could be mobile and still be have an authentic taste.
Right. Okay. So I still remember the Itoyen used to have a beautiful tea room and a restaurant called the Kai on Upper East Side. So are they permanently closed now?
Well, the lease was up. There's a time we decided to sort of, you know, regroup and concentrate on our ready-to-drink because there was so much growth and demand distribution. So, yes.
Okay. Well, it's a shame because I really liked the restaurant.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, I asked because, to me, I think your role is more than just selling authentic green tea. It's more like cultural education.
Right, right.
So the restaurant and the tea room was it's kind of a go-to place to learn
Japanese. Yes, well, thank
culture.
You. And, you know, eventually that can happen again. We just, I think, really wanted to sort of focus in terms of what we were doing, of course, in Japan was to really expand our ready-to-drink beverage industry. And, of course, a lot's now being done online as well. So a lot of our teas are still available online. But we have our Matcha Love stores, which are on the West Coast and here at the Mitsuwa.
But, in New Jersey.
Yes, yes.
Okay. Right. And I heard that the green tea market in the U.S. has been growing tremendously. And I'm sure you have been contributing to the growth. So thank you for that. And I found that the imports of Japanese green tea totaled $34 million in 2014. And it was 15% of the total green tea export from Japan. So who's drinking Japanese green tea in this country?
Well, it's pretty amazing because I think when we first started, people who were drinking just strictly for hearing that they knew that green tea had health benefits. But we're seeing that there really is a greater appreciation for all the different taste nuances, the different varieties of green tea. People, of course, have become a lot more health conscious today. There's also a great excitement and interest in Japanese cuisine, all things Japanese food culture, which sort of makes sense just even with having the right beverages to kind of enjoy with the cuisine. But we're seeing all sort of walks, I mean, from different age groups. You know, a lot of people are really appreciating, even with the understanding and for the umami taste. Again, as people are appreciating the true taste of an authentic tea experience.
It's more culinary
versus
experience.
Versus a sort of a powdered or concentrate and all this.
Wow. Okay, so because American people in general are becoming more curious about the actual food and ingredients.
Yes, yes. Right. And I guess the inherent value of drinking the health benefits of green tea. There's also the fact that green tea also has the catechins, which are the tea polyphenols,
right,
which helps the fights the free radicals in the body and really helps with you know, reducing a lot of risks in terms of the chronic illnesses.
Right. I'm going to talk about the whole health benefit thing a little later.
Oh, good. Okay. We'll touch on that.
I think it's because people are really curious about
that.
Right. And so what kind of tea are people drinking, like ready-to-drink bottled tea or loose-leaf tea?
Well, we're seeing both. I think that there's, of course, the convenience factor of the ready-to-drink. Our teas tea have been incredibly popular because people like, you know, on the go. It is a pure, authentic, all it is, you know, brewed green tea. There's nothing added to it. Purified water, premium loose leaf teas brewed, and natural ascorbic vitamin C. So we're seeing that they're ready to drink, as well as people are also experimenting and enjoying the leaf tea within their home as well. We're seeing people are getting far more knowledgeable and experienced. And I often compare it to even the wine industry. You know, once upon a time, it was just, you know, drinking red wine or white wine. People are much more knowledgeable with the different varietals. We have customers, of course, are really appreciating the arrival of, let's say, Shincha, which is the, you know, the new tea. It's the first pick of the first crop. It's much, you know, excitement around it. It's almost like the arrival of the Beaujolais Nouveau. But with Shincha, we have a waiting list of people who really appreciate the freshness of it. Mm. We also have the Gyokuro, which is considered one of the finest green teas, shade-grown green tea. So we're seeing, the American market is getting much more aware of quality green teas, the great tastes, the flavor nuances, once again, the different aromas. Mm. So we're seeing kind of an expansive growth in that, the leaf tea, as well as a tea drinker doesn't always want to be preparing with a teapot. They also want to be out the door, in their car, in their backpack, going to yoga or something. Mm-hmm. So we offer both, which has been
Well, that's
wonderful.
Interesting. It seems like people approaching green tea just like they approach a coffee.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So, coffee is already everybody's drink, but then slowly maybe green tea is replacing the habit of making at home. They don't mind spending a bit of money, buying expensive coffee beans.
Right. Well, I think what's unique also with tea, green tea, is the amino acid L-theanine. Mm. So it gives you a sense of calm. Mm. It's a calm alertness. So let's say coffee has caffeine. Mm-hmm. Tea also has caffeine, the third of what coffee has. But the balance with the L-theanine gives you that sort of sense of alertness, but gives you a sense of calm and relaxation.
So it's kind of a synergy.
Yes.
Picking both best parts.
Yes.
Okay. And I heard it's, you don't feel jittery or there's no drop of energy.
Right. Which coffee tends to have. Whereas with the green tea, because of the L-theanine, it doesn't give you that sort of edge.
Okay. So long lasting, maybe more calmer.
Right, much calmer. And, one of the reasons why the Zen monks used to drink the green tea, of course, the matcha, was the fact there'd be this sense of calm, but also mental clarity and focus.
Right.
Which, the L-theanine has that benefit.
Okay. Otherwise, when they meditate, they could fall asleep or they get too excited.
Right, but they would have focus, calm.
Okay. So I understand you sell tea to retail stores, but what about restaurants?
We do. We actually do. We have a number of different channels. As Itoan grows here in this country, it's been very exciting for me to witness is the availability. So, yes, we go with small specialty gourmet stores to the large markets, supermarkets, to the Whole Foods. And also in restaurants. A lot of chefs really enjoy experimenting, incorporating tea in their cuisine.
Right.
Leaf tea, as well as, of course, the matcha out of green tea.
Right. And also, in somewhere like 11 Branson Park, they have a tea sommelier.
Yes.
So, craft beer or apple cider, hard cider, you have to have a good tea on your list.
Yes, absolutely.
Right. Okay. And then, so let's talk about the health benefit you mentioned, because I think it's really important. So what's the health benefit?
Well, with green tea, there's the catechins, which we often hear EGCG. And that is the tea polyphenols that, again, fights the free radicals in the body. So it's studies show that it really helps prevent a lot of chronic illnesses. It, green tea also helps very much. Studies find that for cardiovascular health. For also good bone health, also oral hygiene. Mm-hmm. We often hear anti-aging for skin. Mm-hmm. Green tea has just a multitude of vitamins, minerals, and again, I think the main being the catechins, which I think is what separates the green teas from the black teas. The green tea has quite a bit more of the EGCG content.
Okay. Yeah, I'm curious that the bone health... Because,
well, it helps also for osteoporosis. And it's just, and every year the list gets longer and longer in terms of what studies are finding in terms of, what green tea does for overall health and wellness.
Mm. Okay. And I found another list of all those things, and then that can prevent the cancer and increase fat burning.
Well, it helps. Yes, it helps boost metabolism.
Mm.
So, it also is good in helping kind of maintain good overall weight as well.
Right. And what about, like, sometimes I have issues with caffeine because it can cause stomachache. So is there any good way to drink green tea without having any stomachache?
Well, I think that, again, you know, I think the balance with the amino acid sort of prevents a lot of that sort of reaction. But, you know, I do have friends who are a little bit more caffeine sensitive. Mm-hmm. Hojicha is a tea that's much very low in caffeine. And sometimes, you know, if you like, some people I know like to steep the tea first, you know, for the first steeping, so it extracts the caffeine, so they will go for a second steeping. But it really depends, you know, on the individual.
Okay, so the second steeping has
less caffeine,
but the benefits still stay.
Yes, yes, but it just sort of immediately extracts it. But, you know, I would, again, have to say that, you know, I very rarely hear that, just because I think overall, you know, it's very balanced with, again, the amino acids.
Okay. I'll try
it.
The second steeping
okay,
today, because I really like the flavor.
That's great.
Right. Okay.
And hojicha, you've tried the hojicha, which is known to have, you know, far less caffeine.
Right. Actually, my father has the same kind of condition,
right?
So he always had a hojicha.
Oh, is that right?
Right.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Okay. And I found the statistics. So it shows how great the green tea is to decrease risk of dying and help your liver live longer. And in a study of 4,000 Japanese adults, who are those who drank the most green tea, which means five or more cups a day, were significantly less likely to die during an 11-year period. And their age group was like 58. And this from heart disease, 30% lower in women and 22% lower in men. And this from stroke, 42% lower in women and 35% lower in men. So let's drink green tea.
Yeah, there's plenty of reasons to enjoy green tea. And
okay.
As I mentioned, it just, the studies continue to really show that there's just such great benefits. And, you know, this is what they're suggesting. I mean, recently, I mean, it was ovarian cancer, reducing the risk. But, you know, I just think a lot of it is also sort of the mental health of just the calming aspect of it.
Right.
The whole ritual of enjoying tea as well. And part of the beauty about tea is also, you know, sharing with friends, the hospitality. I mean, you could enjoy it in solitude, a moment to relax and have a cup of tea, or you can entertain and share great conversations.
Right.
So all those activities are great, I think, just in terms of overall health, mental health.
Right. And like your mother, grandmother offered tea when you sit down, and it's like a welcoming hospitality.
Exactly.
Right.
It's that spirit. Yeah.
Okay. And it's like even Turkey or England, there's a tea culture. People gather around tea.
Well, it's interesting because the Japanese tea ceremony, Chado, the four principles are wa, ke, se, jaku, which translates into harmony, respect, purity, and tranquility. And that's very deep rooted into the Japanese tea culture.
And also overall society, even.
Yes.
So that's amazing. All right. So let's take a quick break here. And then when we come back, we'll talk about matcha, which is becoming very popular in the US. So please stay with us.
Today's program is brought to you by Korin, supplier of Japanese chef knives and restaurant supplies. Korin is proud of their Japanese culture and traditions, but they want you to know that their products are not just for Japanese restaurants. Their knives and tableware bring out the best qualities of food from every culture and fit into every restaurant, from French to Pan-Asian to American, and that is why they're located in New York City, where people from every country in the world come to eat. Korin's unique store in Lower Manhattan is home to perhaps the most extensive collection of Japanese chef knives in the world, including Japan, plus the rarest natural sharpening stones and exquisitely designed tableware. They also host special events such as knife sharpening demonstrations and parties with New York's most famous chefs and restaurateurs. Korin is dedicated to this ideal, bringing the implicit and elegance of Japanese culture to your table, be it in your home or in the finest restaurant. For more information, visit korin.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Japan Eats, broadcasting live from a studio in Bushwick, Brooklyn. I'm your host, Akiko Katayama, and my guest today is Rona Tison, who is a Senior Vice President of Corporate Relations at the leading tea company, Itoen North America. So there's so many types of Japanese tea. So what types of Japanese tea should beginners know about?
Well, of course, there's the loose leaf tea. Crescentia is the classic tea. And in the world of the leaf tea, there's also the hojicha, which is a roasted green tea. There's also the genmaicha, which is the roast, the green tea, sencha with the roasted rice.
Yeah, people like a lot.
Oh, people do love the genmaicha. One, because I think it has sort of a nutty, almost like a popcorn.
Right.
But really, I have to say that whereas sencha tends to be a little bit more herbaceous and grassy, so a lot of people who are very unfamiliar like to, you know, we sort of suggest maybe coming in through a genmai job.
Right, because it's like visibly you can see all those cracker.
Yes,
you know, tiny
you can see the roasted rice.
Right, and then it's like, to me, it's nutty, toasty.
Yes,
right.
Yes. So that's incredibly popular now. And people are actually using genmaicha even in cooking now.
Wow.
Yes. But
how do they do that?
Well, they'll put it, they'll use it almost like a crust in terms of, like, say, like a grilled salmon or something. They'll make a crust with a genmaicha. They'll incorporate it in different sauces for that nuttiness. You know, people are experimenting using tea in a lot of different cuisines, and chefs are doing so.
Right, interesting.
So.
Even if you cook, the whole the benefits should stay, right? If you
yes.
Use, oh,
yeah.
Wow. Okay, so crusted tea, genmaicha crusted.
I'll send you that, Akiko.
Okay. What's the show on my show page?
Yes.
Right? Okay, and what about the, you mentioned gyokuro, so that's a premium.
Yes, gyokuro is considered the finest of all green teas. What's unique about it is I'd probably say about 3 weeks prior to harvesting, they put shade grown. So what happens is, you know, there's a shade over it. The tea plant is looking for the sun. There's a lot more chlorophyll that comes. And what result of that is it has a lot more umami and sweetness in the taste of gyokuro.
Oh, wow.
So it's quite a bit much more, a little bit more premium in price.
Because you have to create, build the whole shades and spend the labor.
But it's a tea that generally is served not as a daily tea. I mean, it's a little bit more a special for special occasions, or you know, when guests come, and it's also served in a smaller kyusu, a smaller teapot, and in smaller portions, and traditionally brewed with a lower temperature.
Oh,
as
okay,
well.
It's because it's more delicate.
Yes, a little more delicate. But you know, I think what is really unique is the very umami sweetness for the gyokuro.
Okay, right. All right. And
it's translated as jade dew.
Oh, yeah, okay, so, right.
Yes.
Right, it's very fine, good-looking, beautiful color, too.
Yes.
So that's gyokuro. And so one thing I heard that people like kukicha, too.
Yeah, kukicha is a little bit more of a casual tea. Kuki means stem. So it's sort of a nice sort of all-around classic tea. But again, it's not as considered as premium as, let's say, the gyokuro in terms of the hierarchy. But on its own, it really is. It's a fun tea.
Right. It's like a roastier.
More,
cheaper.
Yes, yeah.
Like
it's a little bit more approachable price point wise. And all these teas are available, of course, on itoen.com. But so we do, you know, suggest that people sort of explore all the different teas and for different occasions.
Well, it's interesting because it's more diverse compared to coffee.
Yes.
So,
and what's interesting is many people are not aware, but you know, all tea comes from one plant, which is the Camellia sinensis, and it's just how it's processed and where it's grown in the terroir and so forth that impacts the different varieties of tea.
Right. Whereas, well, that's interesting because I was going to ask the difference between Japanese tea and Chinese tea. They are different way to process it.
Well, what's really specific to Japan is the green tea is steamed, whereas in China, that's usually sort of more pan-fried green teas.
Okay.
And of course, they're much more known for their semi-fermented teas, which are the oolong teas. And of course, black teas are fully oxidized, whereas oolongs are semi-oxidized. Whereas Japanese green teas, what is specific again to Japan is that they are steamed right after harvesting to stop the oxidation,
right,
which is why it makes it far more fragile in taste and a lot more fresher, I'd have to say. I often compare it to almost like a fresh vegetable. You know, there's a real freshness about the Japanese green teas for the steaming
Versus
process.
Versus a nutty, toasty flavor. It's more.
Right.
Okay, that's interesting. And so the now, matcha, I think we have to talk about.
Matcha, definitely.
Because right, I heard the sales of matcha is, in particular, is growing fast out of the whole green tea market. And I found some data. So U.S. retail sales of matcha surged 55% in 2014, and sales of ready-to-drink matcha products leaped 253% in the same year. So the base figure, of course, is small, but it's still a significant increase. So why do you think matcha is so popular, first of all?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, it really is matcha madness today. I think, you know, as people are enjoying green tea, matcha, of course, is a finely milled green tea powder made from the tencha leaves. And what's unique to matcha is that you whisk it and you consume the entire tea leaf. So you ingest everything versus, let's say, brewing a leaf tea where you steep and you brew your tea and then you discard the tea leaves. With matcha, you consume the entire aspect of the tea. So I think people are really enjoying the fact that they're getting the vitality and the full benefits of that tea leaf. They're also enjoying just that very fresh, green, grassy, herbaceous taste of matcha. And people are, you know, smoothies are really big. People are incorporating matcha in a lot of their health drinks.
Right, because it's a sweet and bitter balanced in smoothies.
Right. So they'll, you know, we have a lot of our customers who really enjoy, you know, incorporating it into their beverages, also whisking their matcha every day as sort of a ritual.
Why not?
With bamboo whisk, chasen, and people, why not? It's just delicious. And I always like to say it's like enjoying a cup of nature. You really feel like you're enjoying that beautiful experience of being out in nature. It really is.
So what I understand is that, well, correct me if I'm wrong, so the gyokuro we talked about, so it's grew in the shade in the last couple months before harvest, and the matcha is the same, but it's powdered.
Right. So for the gyokuro, when it's shade grown, there's the tencha leaves, and of course then, you know, you're consuming the leaves because you're steeping the tea leaves, whereas with matcha, it's taken the additional step of stone ground or finally milling it into a powder. And the matcha was first introduced through the Japanese tea ceremony, the chado. And that's, ironically, in Japan, they first started drinking more powdered tea than leaf teas, and they eventually evolved into leaf teas.
Okay.
But, you know, we're seeing that, I think, in the modern, we have a brand called Matcha Love, and we say it's a modern take on an ancient ritual. So we're introducing matcha into sort of your daily ritual, however you enjoy it, whether you want to whisk it, want to add it to your smoothie, whether or not you even want to cook with it. We just introduced a culinary matcha, and a lot of people are, again, incorporating matcha into their baking and cooking.
Right, so the culinary matcha, it's just, you know, like gyokuro is powder, that's like matcha, that's really expensive. But the culinary matcha is kind of a little less expensive version of it?
Well, the culinary matcha, right, it's a little bit more of a sort of a food grade that you can use daily. It's still a high quality. But, you know, comparative to the ceremonial matchas, which we also offer, there's we have like the Koicha, which mm-hmm. is the in tea ceremony that is used for thick tea, mm-hmm. and the Usucha, thin tea. But we again have the culinary matcha, which is a little bit more sort of approachable on a daily mm-hmm. for daily use.
Right. Okay. So maybe the same way that it's made, but it's less quality leaves.
Well, the one step in terms of culinary matcha is whereas the tencha leaves, which I mentioned, which is part of the process to make the gyokuro tea leaves mm-hmm. and the ceremonial tea leaves, which are ground, with the culinary matcha, the one step is we really do not shade grow. Still a premium tea leaf,
right.
High quality, 100% authentic, pure Japanese tea leaves. And it, you know, it still has a wonderful herbaceous
right.
taste.
But does it make sense? Because a delicate umami, you don't need if you cook with some other ingredients.
Right.
Okay, that's perfect. All right, and then, so the matcha, I heard, it's like a wine. And the traditional tea houses blend different leaves to make one type of matcha. Like, you know, each tea house blends different leaves from different fields from the same year, and each blend has like a poetic name.
Well, it's interesting because, yes, we have a number of different matchas. You know, you have to understand the tea leaf is a natural product. So mm-hmm. based on the year, almost from different harvests, and the weather has a lot to do with it, even in when shincha is being picked, you know, based on the season, the time, I mean, generally... the first shincha is picked at the 88th day after the spring equinox. They call it Hachiju Hachiya.
Right.
But a lot of that does impact, you know, in subtle ways, the different tea leaves.
So 88 nights.
Hachiju Hachiya.
Right.
Yes.
Romantic. Right.
But back to the naming, yes, we have a number of Japanese matchas that have been named specifically by the Urasenke, which is a school of Japanese tea ceremony, the Urasenke. And so they've sort of been given a special name for the type of the different matcha.
Okay. So it's just like a specific blended wine kind of.
Yes. But what's interesting with the difference in wines are, whereas wines, you will have a different vine for, let's say, the Chardonnay grape or the Cabernet grape. And again, going back to tea, it's the one plant, Camellia sinensis.
Just
and
one variety.
Right, and it's just how it's processed and the areas in which it's grown.
Interesting. Okay. So when we talk about matcha, we have to talk about tea ceremony, which you mentioned a couple times. So for listeners who don't know anything about tea ceremony, what is that?
Well, it's a more Japanese ritual of preparing the Japanese matcha, but it's also about it's sort of an art form which was influenced through Zen Buddhism. And it's part of introducing, of course, you know, having the hospitality, but in learning Japanese tea ceremony, Chado, translated the way of tea, there's a lot of meaning and between all the movements, all aspects of everything from the arrival, from the flower arrangement in the room. It's very seasonal and even the tea bowls. So there's a lot of, how would you say, learning the whole preparation, the ritual of serving a bowl of matcha to your guests, but also engaging in conversation.
So it sounds like it's a austerity ceremony.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. And do you know when it started? It has a long history.
Well, first, I mean, it was first introduced in the 8th century, but I think what's interesting is that at the time, in the Japanese chashitsu, which is the Japanese tea room, there was an entrance called the Nijiriguchi, which is a 3-foot by 3-foot entryway. And part of it was sort of disconnecting to your outside world and kind of going into this separate realm. And Japanese, the samurais used to go there to drink tea before they would go out into battle to kind of have a sense of relaxation, purification of the mind and so forth. And so that has evolved over the years, and today Japanese tea ceremony can be experienced even in a much more casual setting. But that was originally the history.
But it's interesting because now every day we have a very stressful life, and if we had a little tea room and then just go in and meditate, have a tea ceremony,
Yes, which is, I have to say, probably a lot of the reasons why we are seeing such a pleasure for people to whisk their own cup of matcha. You know, we have a lot of our customers say they just really enjoy morning whisking their matcha and taking a moment to themselves to sort of regroup and sort of disconnect from the everyday stress. But, you know, originally the Zen monks who brought it in to this country, and there's so much influence, I have to say, on all levels, from the artisans of creating the tea bowls to the beautiful calligraphy that's hanging in the tokonoma, which is in the tea room.
The background.
Right. And, you know, very connected to the seasons.
And flowers.
Yes, the ikebana.
Okay. So it sounds like old history, but sounds like also there's something people practice yoga may enjoy it. Very much so.
I think it's all very kind of interconnected. So as people are really thinking about their overall health and wellness, and I mean from body to mind and spirit, it just tea is such a natural sort of connection to that lifestyle.
Right. And also chemically speaking, also that L-theanine also makes you calm down.
Very much so. And the fact that it's natural.
Do you know any place we can learn tea ceremony in New York?
Well, I do know there's Urasenke here in New York City. And it's actually housed in the former studio of Mark Rothko, the artist.
Oh, wow.
And it's a historical landmark, but they do have, and you can experience, I think once a month they actually open it up to the public. But it is something that I would highly recommend experiencing.
Okay, well, we'll have to find out. So I'll post it on my show page.
Please do. Okay. But for teas, do come to itoen.com. That's definitely where we have our full range of all incredible, authentic Japanese green teas, leaf and matcha.
So before we finish, so could you tell us how to make a best cup of green tea in the house?
Well, most important, of course, is starting with a good quality green tea leaf. And you have to ensure that it is fresh. You know, tea does have a lifespan, so you can have it in your cupboard for 2 years. You'd be sure, and I highly recommend purchasing tea a little bit more as you use it. But most important is the water temperature. And I think the biggest mistakes customers make is the fact that they use a boiling water for green tea.
Which is probably like 200 more.
Right, but you need to do your green teas at more of a lower temperature. We recommend, let's say, 185. Some of the higher grades, even a lower, 175. Yogokuros are even at a lower temperature. But green tea, because it was steamed, it's a much more fragile tea. You cannot treat it as if it were black tea, which is a fully oxidized tea. So that is key, very important to remember.
Okay. Right. So serving vessels, what kind of?
Well, the traditional for Japanese green tea is, of course, the kyusu. And unlike the Western teapots, which are larger, where you may steep a big pot of tea, with Japanese green tea, you steep it several times. So you may have a small kyusu.
Barely 2 cups of small tea.
So it has a handle to the side. But you would do several steepings with the same tea leaf. And you would pour it into the different, let's say you have guests and you have 3 cups. And you would evenly distribute the tea that you steep. Whereas maybe a Western matcha tea, you may fill 1 cup and go to the next and fill the second cup.
You have to go through circles.
You go through circles. And most important is going to the very last drop. In Japanese, we say saigo no itteki, which is ensuring that the very last drop of that infusion is poured. So it doesn't affect the second steeping of your tea.
That's profound.
Well, leave it to the Japanese.
Okay. Right. That's wonderful. Okay. So thank you for joining us today, Rona.
Oh, thank you so much, Akiko. It was a pleasure.
Well, hopefully this is the first time. Please come back.
Oh, I'd love to. Thank you so much.
So listeners, if you'd like to know more about Rona's work, please visit itoen.com. It's itoen.com. And if you have any questions or comments about the show, please contact us at heritageradionetwork.org. And by the way, we recently launched a beautiful new website, so please visit our page, Japan Eats. And today's show was made possible by Corin, and our engineer is David Tatasiore. And Japan Eats is live at 3 p.m. on Mondays and always available at heritageradionetwork.org, iTunes, and Stitcher Podcast. Thank you for listening. I'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.